Order in the court. Be seated.
It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Here we go. Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt, where I help you discover your legal issue blind spots by listening to me talk about the law on the radio. This is our special Sunday evening edition of Talk Law Radio, but you can always listen again on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock in the morning. And today we're going to be talking about a court case involving the medicine called ivermectin. You might remember that from back in the day, a couple of years ago, when COVID-19 was raging. Some physicians prescribed ivermectin as a treatment to the disease. And the FDA came out and said, don't take it. And so a few physicians filed a lawsuit against the FDA and Health and Human Services. And this is a court case that the drive-by media is not talking about. And so I wanted you to know about it because it affects your rights to get the medical treatment that you want and interference from the federal government. So I wanted to let you know about this case against the Food and Drug Administration. And I want to tell you a little bit about the Food and Drug Administration. The Enabling Act is found in 21 U.S.C. sections 301 to 399. It's an agency within Health and Human Services, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services is responsible for carrying its duties out. The FDA has authority to approve a drug for introduction into interstate commerce if the agency determines it is safe for use under the conditions prescribed, recommended, or suggested in the proposed labeling thereof, and finds that there is substantial evidence that the drug will have the effect it purports or is represented to have under the conditions of use prescribed, recommended, or suggested in the proposed labeling thereof. That's found in 21 CFR section 201.57. The FDA can also collect information on adverse events resulting from the use of approved drugs. That's found in 21 USC section 355K. The FDA can request changes to drug labeling, impose risk evaluation and mitigation strategies like mandatory patient monitoring, and communicate the risks of using approved drugs, and even withdraw approval of a drug entirely under certain circumstances. None of these provisions authorize the FDA to prohibit, direct, or advise against off-label uses of drugs approved for human use. So this is one of the issues in this case, is whether the FDA could tell consumers not to take ivermectin for COVID-19 treatment, which is what they did. I wanted to go through some history of COVID-19 just to set the background here. You might remember back in January 2020, the Secretary of Health and Human Services determined that COVID-19 resulted in a public health emergency under Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act. On March 13, 2020, President Trump determined, pursuant to the National Emergencies Act, found in 50 U.S.C. Section 1601. The COVID-19 outbreak in the United States constituted a national emergency that threatened national security. Then Biden took office in January 20, 2021. And then this is where the announcements by the FDA started. On December 10th, 2021, a publication entitled Why You Should Not Use Ivermectin to Treat or Prevent COVID-19 was posted. On April 26th, 2021, the FDA posted on their website Frequently Asked Questions that begins, question, should I take ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19? Answer, no. On August 21st, 2021, the FDA posted a tweet, which is now called X, that reads, you are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. The tweet displays the title of Why You Should Not Use Ivermectin to Treat or Prevent COVID-19. On April 26th, 2020, there was a tweet that reads, hold your horses, y'all. Ivermectin may be trending, but it still isn't authorized or approved to treat COVID-19. The tweet again displays the title of why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. So what is ivermectin? In 1996, the FDA approved ivermectin for use in humans to treat river blindness and a parasitic roundworm. Ivermectin was also used regularly for off-label conditions as an oral treatment for parasitic infections, scabies, and head lice. It's also been used off-label to treat diseases associated with Demodex mites, such as blepharitis and demodicidosis. Researchers have demonstrated that ivermectin may be an effective treatment for a long list of pathogens, including yellow fever virus, dengue virus, Japanese encephalitis, tick-borne encephalitis, HIV-1, chlamydia, and certain cancers. Dr. William Campbell and Dr. Satoshi Omura received the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 2015 for the discovery of ivermectin and its contribution to the treatment of diseases that have, quote, plagued humankind for millennia, end quote. That's from a press release of the Nobel Assembly. The physicians were complaining about this because the pharmacists would refuse to fulfill their prescribed medication to their patients, and it also harmed their reputation, and one of the physicians was denied privileges at a hospital, and another physician was reported to the Board of Medicine in the state in which they practiced. But the major complaint was to stop the FDA from posting those messages to the consumers that say, don't use this medicine to treat COVID-19. So they filed a lawsuit in district court, and the allegation was that these tweets and this website posting violated the Administrative Procedures Act. You might remember me talking about the Administrative Procedures Act in regards to the Border Patrol taking down the razor wire at the border that the state of Texas had been putting up to stop illegal immigration. So here, in this case, the complaint is that the FDA made a new rule by posting those messages. And so that's one of the legal issues, is did the communication of posting those messages on social media and their website, did that constitute the making of a new rule that didn't follow the Administrative Procedures Act? And the district court found that the case should be dismissed because of sovereign immunity. And you might remember me talking about sovereign immunity a while back. Sovereign immunity says that the government cannot be sued unless it gives consent to be sued. And one of the times that it has consented to be sued is under the Administrative Procedures Act. And so it's commonly used when people want to file a complaint against the government. So I want to just reiterate some things about the FDA. This is one of the allegations, or it's part of the lawsuit that these physicians filed against the FDA. Said the FDA has authority to ensure that drugs are safe for use under the conditions prescribed, recommended, or suggested in the proposed labeling thereof, to require substantial evidence that the drug will have the effect it purports or is represented to have under the conditions of use prescribed, recommended, or suggested in the proposed labeling thereof, to collect information on adverse events resulting from use of the drug, to request changes to labeling, to impose risk evaluation and mitigation strategies like mandatory patient monitoring, to communicate the risks of using approved drugs, and to withdraw approval of a drug entirely under the certain circumstances. But the FDA cannot limit directly or indirectly the off-label use of a drug otherwise approved for human use without specific authority to do so. And so here the physicians are saying that the FDA did not have authority to stop the use of ivermectin. So here's a statement by the Court of Appeals about how the district court ruled in the initial lawsuit. The FDA moved to dismiss the doctor's complaint under Rule 12, invoking sovereign immunity and arguing that the doctors lack standing to sue under Article 3. So the district court said that the FDA could have and perhaps should have been more prudent in their communications, but said nevertheless that sovereign immunity protects the FDA and therefore dismissed the lawsuit. So here's a definition of sovereign immunity. The United States may not be sued except to the extent that it has consented to suit. Where the United States has not consented to a lawsuit or the plaintiff has not met the terms of a statute, the court lacks jurisdiction. The doctors rely on three theories to overcome the sovereign immunity defense. And the main one that I'm going to talk about now is ultra vires. That's Latin. The ultra vires exception to sovereign immunity provides that where the officer's powers are limited by statute, his actions beyond those limitations are considered individual and not sovereign actions. Such actions are ultra vires beyond his authority and therefore may be made the object of specific relief. To invoke this exception, a plaintiff must do more than simply allege that the actions of the officer are illegal or unauthorized. Rather, his complaint must allege facts sufficient to establish that the officer was acting without any authority whatever, or without any colorable basis for the exercise of that authority. Under the common law ultra vires doctrine, then, a strong merits argument is needed to overcome sovereign immunity. Okay. So again, the reason I wanted to talk about this case is because I think that the FDA overstepped. You know, they're trying to do more than just find that medication is safe for human consumption. They're trying to tell the doctors when to prescribe this medication. And physicians are not licensed by the FDA. They're licensed by the respective states of the United States. So physicians that want to practice medicine in Texas are licensed by the Texas Medical Board or whatever it's called. And if a physician is using a medication that causes damage to his or her patients, then the patient can sue that doctor for negligence or malpractice. But the FDA doesn't step in these matters. And so this is a hidden legal issue blind spot that you might be facing if a doctor has prescribed medication to you and the pharmacist won't fulfill that prescription, won't fill the prescription because of something that the FDA or another government agency has communicated to the public. And you probably want to take medicine that your doctor says is going to help you feel better. And I don't want the government overstepping its bounds. Because I don't like it when the government tells me what to do. I don't want the government to tell you what to do. And so after the Court of Appeals overruled the district court, said that you can't dismiss that case, it's going to go forward. Well, then the FDA and these physicians came to a settlement agreement. And in that settlement agreement, the FDA agreed that it would remove these social media posts and the website frequently asked questions page that mentions the use of ivermectin to treat COVID-19. And so the social media posts are quite humorous. You should look them up before they're taken down. The FDA had used a photograph of a horse because even though the ivermectin was used, was approved for human use, it is also used for veterinary use for the treatment of parasites. And so that's why the FDA came up with this catchy slogan about you're not a horse, you're not a cow, don't take ivermectin for the treatment of COVID-19. I also want to let you know about my shows on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock in the morning on radio, 9:30 a.m., also 6:30 a.m. Also, you can listen on podcasts everywhere, Facebook, YouTube, and talklawradio.com. You can search archive posts there if you have an interest in learning about business law, estate law, all types of other laws. I've been talking a lot about constitutional law lately because of the court cases in the Supreme Court. And so I want you to protect your civil liberties. I want you to exercise your rights and freedoms, because when we all do that, then we can keep the government off of our backs. And I also want to help you prevent bad things from happening when you accidentally violate the law or when you're having trouble with regulations. So if you have questions, please email me at host@talklawradio.com. If you have questions, there's a good chance that other people have questions, and I might be able to explain things, or I might be able to get an expert in that area of law to talk with me about it on the radio. And you can help out your fellow man by doing that. So email me at host@talklawradio.com, or you can text Todd at 210-538-4770. Text Todd, that's me, at 210-538-4770. Our programming is sponsored by Marquardt Law Firm, where we focus on business and estate law, including last wills, living trusts, tax-protected inheritance plans, new businesses, old businesses, and corporations, contracts, LLCs, and family limited partnerships. And we can represent those who are facing problems from lack of planning, like in probate court, county court, or district court. If you want to be a sponsor of Talk Law Radio, you can email me at host@talklawradio.com or just go to talklawradio.com. There's a link there if you want to sponsor the show. We'll have a conversation to see if you're a good fit and see if my listeners would like to hear about your product or service. So again, I want to let you know why I wanted to talk about this case. Let me see here. This was by Dr. Paul Merrick, Dr. Mary Talley, Dr. Robert Apter, and the defendants were the FDA and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Other people that were other stakeholders in this case was Dr. Pierre Corey, president of Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, who called ivermectin a miracle drug, and podcaster Joe Rogan. You might have listened to his podcast. I think that he took ivermectin as part of a treatment when he contracted COVID-19. So you might want to search that on Google and learn more about that. So not everybody took ivermectin, but you might remember COVID-19 didn't have a cure, and some people that went to the hospital were just sent home and said, you're not sick enough yet, come back later when you can't breathe. And people were just searching for anything that they could do to feel better from COVID-19. And a physician tried this out on his patients and saw some success. In fact, these three physicians that filed this lawsuit, they prepared statistics in the complaint in the lawsuit against the FDA that they had a 99% or better success rate in using the drug ivermectin to treat COVID-19. So that's pretty interesting to me. And since the settlement, the FDA agreed to remove the social media posts and the frequently asked questions section of their lawsuit within 21 days. And I think that that was effective March 21st. So you still might be able to find these posts circulating on Twitter, now known as X, and other platforms, just so that you can get a visual ID on what that was. I'm going to be talking about trustees. So if you have a trust or you've been thinking about a trust and you're wondering, well, who should your trustee be? Search for the podcast or search on YouTube or search on Talk Law Radio, and you can learn about what factors you should consider when thinking about who your trustee of your trust should be. Well, thank you for listening. I enjoyed talking to you about ivermectin, the FDA, and this court case. If you have questions about any other court case or any other law, regulation, or statute, please email me at host@talklawradio.com. Talk to you later.